Our gospel lesson for the day comes from the gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Hear the word of God. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. The women found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then the women remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. With due apologies to a few musicians in the room who are now hearing this for a third time today, at least it's warmer than the first time you heard it. I don't know if the sermon's warmer, it's warmer temperature. A long time ago, I was sitting in a coffee shop in Princeton talking to a visiting scholar who was in town for the year on sabbatical. The professor was joining our congregation for worship each Sunday, so I was looking to offer a pastoral welcome of sorts. What I didn't expect was a conversation that changed how I thought about preaching resurrection hope. Our casual, get acquainted conversation turned challenging and intriguing for me as I listened to the scholar's stinging, scathing critique of the church's proclamation on Easter and at most funerals. The gist of the argument was that preaching resurrection should not sound like the content of a greeting card. And examples given ranged from preaching that denies the reality of death to sermons full of kitschy illustrations that promote the concept of immortality of the soul. Think something along the lines of, "He is not dead, he's just gone to the other side of the lake to fish." You know you've seen that somewhere. I think about that conversation while writing most funeral homilies, and every time Easter rolls around, I have to do an Easter homily, 37 and counting. Every time that scene in the coffee shop comes back to me, in my study when I'm writing a sermon, the professor's concluding remark both inspires and haunts me as I'm writing. The professor said, "Resurrection hope has to be more than whether you and I get to heaven. Resurrection hope has to be more than whether you and I get to heaven." I know I'm not the only pastor preaching an Easter Sunday sermon with a congregation in the room after last Easter preaching to an empty room, and the year before that preaching an Easter sermon on a Thursday morning in my living room to be uploaded to our YouTube channel. Resurrection proclamation via live stream with no worship participants in the sanctuary was certainly not unplugged, but it was unadorned. No standing room only, no brass quartets, no choir. There were flowers for only the worship leaders, that only the worship leaders could smell. And there were no Easter hats, no children wearing bright colored clothes. And as difficult as it was for preachers, and yes, it was difficult. It was very difficult. The opportunity to preach Easter unadorned resulted in the unexpected opportunity to ponder the promise of resurrection, hope, and power liberated from the church's piety. Yes, the conviction that the promise of the resurrection of Christ is far beyond our Easter morning finery, that's not new. It's just that the last few years, preachers like me have had the chance to live into it, to lean into it. The empires of this world must thrive on Easter preaching in the church that serves up greeting card poetry and relies less on content and more on the festival worship of the morning. And it's not because the powers and principalities pay much attention to the church at all. Rather, such tepid resurrection proclamation by definition nurtures the unfaithful view that separates the church from the world, faith from politics, and the life of discipleship from daily life at work and at school and at home and in the community. When Russia continues to wage war on Ukraine, when someone opens fire in a crowded subway car, when an unarmed black man is shot in the back of the head by a police officer in Grand Rapids, and conflict, tension, and violence is again on the rise in Israel and Palestine, when our world, our nation, our communities have been redefined by the magnitude of suffering and death amid the pandemic, when the vitriol, hatred, and bitter divisions has left a stain from school board meetings to the rhetoric of the public square, when the rise of Christian nationalism wedded to white supremacy in the land has elevated the term culture war to a frightening level, when families have been divided and congregations have been torn apart, yes, resurrection preaching in the world, the nation, and the church these days has to be about more than whether we will all get to heaven. It has to be about living resurrection hope now. It should never be lost on the church, on the followers of Jesus, that the first ones to proclaim the resurrection were women. That was my wife, Kathy. Am I right? Am I right about that? Yeah. The women who came to the tomb early, real early. In Luke, when Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them went to tell the others, the apostles didn't believe them. It seemed to them an idle tale. Some translations say they thought it was nonsense. One paraphrase reads, they thought they were making it up. And I bet they did some mansplaining too. The women came to tell them about the resurrection, and the apostles treated it like something even less than a greeting card or a tepid nod to Jesus' teaching that on the third day he would rise. They thought any mention of resurrection hope now, was just nonsense. Marvin McMickle is one of the best preachers, maybe the best preacher I've ever listened to on a regular basis. in my life. When I was doing my seminary internship at Central Presbyterian Church up in Montclair, New Jersey, he was the pastor at St. Paul Baptist Church in Montclair. Many Sundays, after the hour-long worship in the Presbyterian Church came to a conclusion, I would go down to St. Paul's Baptist Church. Now, worship began at the same time in both churches. But in the African-American tradition of St. Paul's, the service wasn't even half over when I arrived. And I would slip in just as the sermon was starting and listen to Dr. McMickle preach for an hour. He just wrote an article this spring on preaching resurrection hope. And he begins by telling of the two words spoken by, and I quote him, almost every African-American preacher inside almost every African-American church. Two words. But early. But early. He describes it as the beginning of a call and response between preacher and congregation that builds in volume and passion, concluding with, but early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. This morning, it was probably 6:20 when I said, but early, to the joint service with the Witherspoon Street Presbyterian Church, our historic African-American Presbyterian church in town, when I said, but early, the response came right back. Sunday morning. But early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. So I did the Google on the phrase, and my computer lit up. Knowing the gospel resurrection accounts all begin early in the morning, it wasn't that I didn't believe Marvin McMickle. It was that I wanted to see if it was a line from a spiritual that I could go then listen to. If it was a line from a spiritual, I couldn't find it. And I know it's not a quote from the Gospels. But when I say my computer lit up with that phrase. And I sat at my computer for the next hour and a half listening to preacher after preacher. Young preachers and old preachers, preachers weeks ago, preachers years ago, preachers on Easter, preachers on days that had nothing to do with Easter, proclaiming to the people of God, but early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. It was Easter morning right there in my office last week, all afternoon. The article is a profound testimony to the importance and the vitality of resurrection hope in the African-American church, African-American preaching, African-American spirituals, and African-American life in every century in this land, including this one. When the preacher shouts, somebody say early, McMickle writes, what is coming next is a witness to the promise, the power, and the presence of God that has sustained African Americans through 246 years of the hell and horror of slavery and the subsequent 156 years of segregation, Jim Crow, second-class citizenship, and the sin of racism and hatred that never goes away. The preacher, McMickle, is writing about living resurrection now. The writer, McMickle, is preaching about a resurrection hope now that is about so much more than claiming your bus ticket to eternity. To quote Dr. McMickle, you need to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the God who had the power to raise Jesus from the dead also had the power not to let death have the last word in your life. And he continues, that is why for most African Americans, the resurrection of Jesus is not something to be analyzed, debated, and disputed. It is the promise, the power, and the presence of God on full display. When the women remembered Jesus' words. And returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11, to all the rest. When what they told them, what the apostles thought was an idle tale, just plain nonsense, they told them what the two men said while they were terrified and buried their faces in fear. He is not here, but has risen. The two men told them, and the women told the apostles and the rest, Christ is risen. Wow, it's good to hear that again. And it might be the greatest preaching accomplishment of my ministry, that I've been able to get Nassau Presbyterian Church to do call and response on a regular basis. Not just on Easter, but on any ordinary Sunday when the preacher says from this pulpit, Christ is risen. It may not be but early, but it is Christ is risen. I told you before about how years ago, Noel Werner and Sue Ellen Page and I attended the symposium on worship hosted by the Calvin College in Michigan. There must have been 300 or 400 people there all week. And one Wednesday night in January, we were gathered in the auditorium for worship. And the preacher for that night, at some point in the sermon, said, Christ is risen. And Sue Ellen and Noel and I blurted out, he is risen indeed. 300 or 400 people turned around and looked at us like, who are those rabble rousers? But it's no small thing, seriously. It's no small thing that generations of worshipers in this space, all generations, from kids to seniors, know by heart, know in their bones, know in their lives that you don't have to wait for Easter morning to proclaim resurrection hope, to live resurrection hope. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
And to know that it is more than waiting for the roll to be called up yonder one day for any one of us. Yes, Easter preaching in the world, the nation, and the church today and tomorrow and Tuesday and every day and next year and every year has to be about more than whether we're all going to get to heaven. Dr. Brian Blunt once said it this way in his sermon, live resurrection in the present like you are certain resurrection is coming in the future. Because to live resurrection now is to work to make the world a better place for all people now. To sow seeds of righteousness now, to work for justice now, for Christ is risen.
He is risen.
To live resurrection now is to refuse to cede the promise, power, and presence of God's resurrection hope to those who use the name of Jesus to divide rather than to unify, to tear down rather than to build up, to condemn rather than to forgive, and to hate rather than to love. For Christ is risen. To live resurrection now is to never give up on the world that you know that God intends for all of God's creation. To live resurrection now is to never give up on the world God promises. Because indeed, this worn-out world may be really broken. This old, worn-out world may be really broken. But early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands, and Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is never in vain. Thanks be to God.